Hey.
It's the Late Show with Brandy Weatherman.
Yeah. One, two, three, four.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes, look behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Covered. We weren't feeling good, so it's kind of got rained on outside and just did not feel great, and just kind of stayed home and did nothing. Watched TV.
Oh.
Although we did watch Halloween movies and stuff, that they had on our one movie channel, like Thing from Another World, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Dracula, the oldies. Yeah.
Nice. And did you pop popcorn?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
William, how about you? William, did you survive Halloween?
Well, I did
Halloween?
Some writing, too, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
I mean, I lucked out on my end. Even though my grandmother's passed on 2 years, we're still known as the Witch's House, so we only had one trick-or-treater, which meant I still have about 10 pounds worth of candy left over. So,
hey!
I curled up and I watched Ron Fitzgerald's Extreme Halloween.
Nice!
Show some love and support to another friend.
Nice! Nicholas.
Well, I think I have about 10 pounds of candy in me.
Oh, there you go. That always works.
Yeah.
Hey, how about Nicholas Grabowski? Did you survive Halloween?
Barely. Yeah, it was, I've talked on Francie's show about it throughout the last month or so with kind of like a love and hate kind of a thing, uh-huh. saying, oh, the weather, it destroyed us, and we keep putting things up, and then all the trick-or-treaters that come before Halloween that show up every night that we have to, like, tend to out in front, and then, you know, the people that egged us back when we around the end of September, we had to clean that up, and then all kinds of stuff, and then me with a more of doing this than actually doing a lot of the things I do all year round with Black Bedsheet Books. It's just everything's like devoted to like getting this done because I don't want to like fall on my face once Halloween comes and all these people get here. But at the same time, we're all about books, and every year we give away like tons of books, Black Bedsheet Books specifically. This is the first year that because of Amazon and stuff, it was like I ordered a bunch of stuff for me and even authors' orders and stuff in September, and Amazon kept like telling us they didn't give a delivery date at first, and then they would, and then it would like go into I'd keep like checking up on it, and the delivery dates kept changing, and then they kept going past Halloween. And it's like, aren't we not going to have any books on Halloween? And it turned out that we didn't. About a week and a half in advance, I decided to like just get used children's books. Like the neighbor next door had like a yard sale, and then whatever was left over, they left in their front yard, and it was a couple of boxes of books and stuff, and I had a table in the back patio that where I just had all kinds of used children's books. And then once that depleted, people started asking, especially later on in the evening, people started asking that came over like previous years, where are your books? Where are your author's books? And where are your authors? And I had to like make up excuses and stuff, and I didn't want to go into it. So mostly I just said, well, you know, these are trying times and stuff. But still, there was little kids, and for some reason they were all little girls. There weren't any boys. They were all little girls, but their families and such. And they were like asking me, what about the books that you publish? What about your books? You don't have any at all? And, you know, and people would say, oh, I'm sorry, but they just explained it to you. And I would go, hold on a second, let me go and see what I got. So I'd go into the into my garage and check my shelves, because I have like a surplus of books that I've published that I keep just to, you know, when friends, people come over and stuff, I could say, hey, I published all these books, look at me. Or something, or, you know, because, you know, I ended up like one by one just giving them away, and I would like bring out a stack and I'd say, what would you want, little girl? And it felt like I was a Halloween Santa. And then what struck me was the kids actually started asking me for writing advice, and then I just ended up like finding myself giving writing advice, just talking in general about believing yourself in yourself and about writing how you feel. It's a great way to get out anxiety. I even went on to my normal spiel about how there would be no school shooters if the school shooters just sat down and wrote about shooting up the school instead of actually doing it, getting it
what?
Out of their
you
system that way, and then they
right.
could even publish it and make some money off of it. Nobody gets killed. Everybody's happy. And I went on about, you know, stuff like that. And everybody, even the families, like, were going, oh, wow. they were like really paying attention. They weren't like, you know, all the kids were like all settled down. Then nobody was going, oh, let's go, let's do this and that. They were all paying attention, and a line was coming up from where I was out of the house of one by one people asking for more books, and I just couldn't say no, so I ended up giving most of my books that I've had for like a handful of years and accumulated on my shelves that I just ended up just giving them away, and they were all like black bedsheet books. Like, I always like to have a copy, at least one copy of something that I've published, and, you know, and then maybe two or three and stuff, and then I can, like, fill some orders on our website and stuff. I ended up giving just about everything away because people wanted and they wanted me to sign each one of them as the publisher, knowing that I didn't write the book, but I'm the publisher, and they were all, like, really happy. Some people asked specifically about some of our writers too, because of previous Halloween events, and it was something unexpected. I just thought, well, we have no books. We have some used children's books in the back. Help yourself, and let's celebrate Halloween and have fun. So if it turned into something profound like that, and that's the basis of what this is all about too, for me at least, is the book part of it, promoting Black Bedsheet by doing the Halloween thing and the whole nine yards. And I thought that I was going to fail miserably this year. But it turned out I had almost like a spiritual experience with that. And I went inside the house and started kind of like, you know, kind of crying and shaking. And I told Francie and Shane and James, our volunteers and Steph, about it. And it was just weird. It kind of subsided after that. But for a good hour and a half, it was like all these people, it was all about, suddenly about books and not Halloween at all, really. And,
yeah.
That's part of the point.
I got to tell you, Nick, that just makes me proud to be associated with the whole thing, you know, like bedsheet books and being an author. So, you know, I just, wow, that's just amazing.
Yeah, thanks, and I posted on our Facebook group page, and I really recommend, I wish I could, you know, start something like this, but people just giving away not just candy but books on Halloween, especially us authors and stuff. It doesn't have to be our books. It could be books that you buy in a used bookstore or thrift store or something, and just accumulate a couple of boxes and just, you know, promote reading and literacy, and if your finances and whatever is okay, order some books. I guess next year I'm going to have to order in August or something in order for them to get here. But,
yeah, probably.
You know, and stuff, and give them away and sign them, and the kids ooh and ah and ask you questions.
I could see you eventually down the road doing a writer's workshop for kids people that want to get into writing. Hopefully us authors can show up and, you know, give some insight.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that actually would be. I just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks that children are really receptive and they're readers. At least the ones I encountered, they love to read. And they look forward to coming here and getting free books every year, stuff, because we're the only ones doing it. We shouldn't have to be the only ones doing it. Mm-hmm. Other people can do it too. It's so fulfilling. Mm-hmm. It's just great.
I'd have my favorite watering hole or something, you know.
Yeah.
For an hour, that's the favorite watering hole.
I will say, Tom, a couple of your books went out also. I know that for sure.
Are you talking about Tom Sawyer?
Yes. Well, that's the only Tom
on the phone. Doing all this, I found like a big stack of about seven or eight of yours of From Paradise to Hell that were misprints, that were unedited. Yeah. And I just wrote inside of them unedited publisher's proof. And, you know, so they wouldn't think that, oh, this guy can't write at all because of all the errors. That was like back a while ago too, and I just had a stack of them, and they said, I don't care.
Yeah, it was my first 25 of In Rod We Trust, because, you know, and I was like, I put, you know, it's a misprint, and I put misprint in the side and told them, and, you know, gave them away to people. But that's, you're kind of inspiring me, Nick, because I'm thinking maybe I should do something like that next, you know, next on the day of Halloween.
Yeah, I think we all should.
Favorite watering hole, you know, for an hour, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
All right, guys.
Yeah, so that was really neat. I know that Fred Weehee was supposed to come out with a book by Halloween. I couldn't do that. I always I say this often too, that come around this time of year, I lie to myself and say, okay, I'm going to publish a few books by Halloween in time for Halloween. But by the time September hits, it's like, and you know, with the setbacks, I probably could have if it wasn't for like a couple of storms that we had. This one big one, it like wiped off. I mean, it was, I practically cried when I actually watched it, and I couldn't do anything about it. But
yeah,
then I think about people that go through hurricanes and all that stuff, and it's like, you know, at least everything's okay and intact. It's just Halloween stuff. Let's just set it up again.
I don't know. That poor clown was hanging on for dear life. All right, everybody, are we ready for the man of the hour?
Yep.
Let's do it.
I love this guy. He's so awesome. He's a great friend. He's always here for us, too. Have you guys noticed that? David Lee Madison always has our back.
Okay. That's great, though, you know?
Okay. All right, let's bring him on, because I know he's had a kick-ass Halloween also.
Ah, I guess that's my
cue. Hey, Dave.
There he is. Even Dave.
How are you?
I'm fine, and, you know, thank you for all the kind words. You know, it's all bullshit, but thank you. It's very nice to hear some.
No. It is 100% true.
We
you
speak the
are
truth here.
The man. Point blank.
We're all Boys and Girl Scouts here. We're always on.
Yeah, we speak the truth.
I get third billing in my own household, and there's only two of us here, so, you know, I'm not. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hear that.
Well, you got a wife, so do you have a cat?
Yeah, the cat.
There you go.
He gets first billing, actually.
How
is everybody tonight?
We're good. How are you?
I am up in the hills of Pennsylvania, freezing my cojones off, wanting to wrap myself up in a blanket and cry myself to sleep. But otherwise, I'm fine.
Oh,
you guys getting snow there?
Yes, it got really cold. Over the last 48 hours, it was actually October was beautiful, but once the calendar turned over to November, it started to, at night, it's in the lower 20s. And for an old man like me, it rattles my bones.
I hear that too. Jesus. This is going to be a hard winter on me.
Boy, I mean, you just gave me a cold chill right down the spine when you just said it's going to be in the 20s. I mean,
yeah. 21 degrees outside of my house right now, so.
Oh.
A bit nipply. Yeah, Francie, who am I speaking with?
No.
Can we have a roll call so I know what to call everybody?
Yes. We got Tom Sawyer.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, how's it going, man?
I'm hanging in there, pal.
Been with us on several occasions with you. We got William Brower.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Dave. Good about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, and then we got Nicholas Grabowski.
Hey, Nick,
then
how are you, pal?
Me. Hey, David.
No, actually, we're really excited that you're here, because whenever I say David's coming back on, everybody's like, yes.
Oh, stop it.
Because no, you stop. No, you are great. You're a great guest. We actually enjoy having you on. First of all, we got to talk about your Halloween, because you had an epic one.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. We had Well, Saturday night I had a masquerade party at my house, which I have every year, which was a lot of fun. And then Sunday night we had a lost interview with Vincent Price that I conducted a little under 40 years ago, and an all-star cast of Icon came on and talked about the lost Vincent Price interview, so that was pretty cool.
Sweet. Yeah, I have watched a lot of it, and I love it.
I'm glad somebody watched it.
Oh, I definitely watched. I wanted to watch on Halloween, but when you were live, snow was our driveway. So I was like, wait. And so I couldn't watch it, but I have been watching it. I think it's great so far. And, man, you got to talk to, like, one of the biggest legendary actors of all time. I mean, people want to be Vincent Price.
Well, yeah, I got to talk with Vincent Price and Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee growing up. Now I get to work with some of my favorite icons.
I hate
now.
You.
So it's all pretty cool.
I'm envious. You lucky bum, man. That's great. Yeah.
Big Tom Williams just said, I hate you.
Yeah, we're actually
I did.
Going to do the
Tom did,
after
yeah.
we're done with the second
yeah.
part of the Vincent Price interview, we're going to do the Peter Cushing
cool.
interview next, and then we're going to do the Christopher Lee interview, and then I think that's the only one I have of like the old. Sadly, Karloff died before I was born, so I never got to meet him.
I was 7 when
wow.
he passed away.
Oh, wow.
Now Dave. Speaking of the original lineup like that, I trust you've seen House of the Long Shadows?
Yes.
Well, I was surprised. Someone actually finally uploaded it to YouTube. You know, it only took 30-some-odd years.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of that film. I'm a really big fan of The Raven, if you guys know that film.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Lorre.
Yeah,
Peter
Lorre, Basil Rathbone, and Boris Karloff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another good.
This is where my little brain interacts and says, "You guys see the Raven on The Simpsons on the Treehouse of Horrors?"
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
Yep. That was great. No.
Peter Lorre stole the show on in the movie The Raven myself. The little things he did that were just kind of, you know.
Yeah, no, Peter Lorre and Karloff were magic in that film. And,
yeah.
and funny, House of the Long Shadows, which was more of a contemporary film. I think it came out like 83, maybe 84. I don't quite remember. But it's kind of, for a film that had Price and Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, kind of one of those ones that went under the radar, but it's kind of a hidden gem.
You know, and
it's like four icons and horror in it.
Yeah, and then ironically enough, you know, for the ultimate lead, Desi Arnaz.
Yeah. Junior.
Yeah. You know. I've always appreciated it just because it's the fact that it's the author trying to go up and get his get source material and focus on writing. I think we can all appreciate that part.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Here's a question I got to ask you, Dave, because when I was watching that video, you kept your composure with Vincent Price. How did you not say, holy shit, are you effing kidding me? Vincent effing Price?
I was just too young and stupid to realize the gravitas of what was going on.
you really kept your composure. And just hearing that epic voice.
Why, thank you. Vincent's wasn't too bad either.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, that was actually hilarious. I loved it. Yeah, I gotta say, you definitely kept your composure. You conducted the interview. You need to give me lessons on how to do this stuff.
Oh no, you're a master. I learned from you. I mean, I'm just I'm like a sad, washed up, never remotely a talented David Letterman kind of clown shoes kind of guy. So you have it all over me, Francie. I assure you that.
I probably would have said I'm not worthy. Can't live with Christ, you know.
Going all out Wayne's World now, are we?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I would have probably been down on my hands and knees, you know, oh, I'm not worthy.
Well, it's funny because that's kind of how I feel with some of the, like, the contemporaries that I've worked with who, when I was a kid, because Vincent Price, believe it or not, was a tad bit before my time. I was born in 1970, and by the time I was, 10 or 11 or 12, he was more known for being like an Alice Cooper's Welcome to My Nightmare and Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Uh-huh.
And back
yeah.
then it was a lot harder to research older films because it was even before the advent of VHS and such. So now that I work with contemporaries of mine that like that I liked when I was a kid, like Stephen Jeffries from Fright Night and Chris Sarandon from Fright Night, and I worked with a couple of cats from The Lost Boys, and I got to work with Bill Paxton from Near Dark, and these are all the people that when I was a teen were making the horror films that I absolutely adored. That's when those moments sank in. But when I met, like, Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee and Vincent Price through my brother when I was a little boy, you know, they were just nice old men. You know, I didn't really realize the gravitas of who they were at the time.
You know, David, I do have a movie that I really love that Vincent Price is in. He's not the star, but it's called His Kind of Woman, and it stars Robert Mitchum and Jane Russell. And he plays this over-the-top, overacting Shakespearean type, Errol Flynn type actor, and he steals the film. It's supposed to be like a noir movie from the 50s, but he just kind of steals the film. Even my son, when I was watching, he goes, that's Vincent Price. He's funny. You know, I was like, he was just hilarious in it, playing this, you know, this character that was just, and it's like, it's become one of my favorites of his movies. It's like, it's so out of the ordinary what he usually played, you know. I mean, even Laura, he was a little different than that, but not like, this is just, you know, if you ever get a chance to watch His Kind of Woman, watch it. I highly recommend it because it's just not your usual Vincent Price.
No, I will definitely check that out. What was it called again? I can't hear. Nora?
His Kind of Woman.
Oh, His Kind of Woman. My apologies. Sweet. I'll
Robert Mitchum movie,
out.
Really, but he plays the second, you know, has Jim Backus in it and Tim Holt, Jane Russell. Has a decent cast in it. Raymond Burr.
I got to check that out. I'm going to type it in right now so I remember. I got a question. Did any of you guys see, it's a contemporary film, but I fell in love with it, and it's just such a fantastic film. I'm curious, did any of you guys see Spontaneous?
I've heard of it.
I have not, but I've
yet
heard,
to
of it.
Heard of it. But I haven't seen it.
I beg you guys to see Spontaneous. I think it's probably the best genre film of the last 20 years, and it's just not getting any love, but it's really the best way to watch that movie is just seek it out on Amazon or something, and don't ruin it for yourselves. Don't do any kind of research or anything beforehand. Just go and experience the film not knowing anything about it, and you'll enjoy it infinitely more than what you than you would if you read up on it beforehand.
Excellent. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow.
I guarantee you like it.
Yeah,
money back guarantee.
I'm going to check that out also. Let's talk about you. In fact, I was stalking you this afternoon, Dave.
Oh, I'm glad somebody is.
And I've seen this really good review of Wits In on What You're Reading.
Oh,
have you
yeah.
read that review?
Yeah, that guy actually writes for the New York Times, so I was very, very pleased that, you know, somebody
wow.
as well-versed wrote such a kind review. But, you know, in all honesty, you know, I paid him through the nose for that review. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
You know what's funny?
What?
When you're an indie
mail.
Yep. What were you going to ask, Francie?
I was going to say, I did not realize that your wife edited the movie.
Yeah, she edits every movie I do because she's the only one who can get into this thick, stupid skull of mine and kind of put together something coherent out of my gibberish. So,
well,
yeah.
That's definitely a keeper.
Yeah.
November 15th, I'm going to be married 30 years.
Wow.
Happy early anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, now you got to give us more tips on how you keep it after 30 years. Because I love the photos that I see of your family. I mean, you can definitely tell you guys have a strong bond.
Yeah, we do. I mean, luckily, my wife and my daughter and I get along fantastically. I think it's more of a product for me having the absolute opposite as a childhood. So I didn't want to be anything like what my father was like. So I made sure that I was a wonderful, loving, and caring dad instead of being a douchebag. So it's kind of
so you broke the cycle.
I broke the cycle.
Yeah.
Broke the cycle.
Good for you.
Douchebaggery.
That's good, and you can tell. I mean, come on, your daughter's in Harvard right now. Come on.
Yeah, well
that's
smart
impressive.
Kid. Yep. Milkman must have been a smart dude. I'll tell you that much.
No, you can tell that's daddy's girl. That is daddy's girl right there. And it's so cute. I did see that video you guys did together, and she, I don't know if you looked at it really close, but your daughter's looking at you with pride.
Oh, I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but I appreciate that.
It was right before your Halloween party.
Oh, I got you. Right.
Yeah, you can tell your daughter was looking at you with pride.
Oh.
You know, I'm daddy's girl. So you did a fantastic job. And in fact, I was watching that. I was like, they are so cute.
Well, I'm very glad.
Not to mention, that was cool that she actually did her own character.
Yes, yeah. She has her first novel that we're shopping around right now called The Heretics, Hall of Heretics, and it's going to probably be out in January. So, 18 years old, and she's completed 4 books, and they're all in a series of books. So it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
It's actually horrifying how smart she is, and all kidding aside, I just don't know. I mean, it's like I don't even know how people get that smart. I don't have enough room in this head of mine to store the amount of knowledge that she does. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I kind of look at like really smart people too, and I'm like, I even asked my Spanish professor. I was like, how do you get so smart? And he's like, knowledge is out there. You just got to look for it. And I'm like, yeah, but I can read it, but it's going to escape somehow.
You know what my problem is?
How do you keep it in?
I use up all that space on fart jokes and episodes of Columbo. So, you know, that's probably why.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean,
well, there you go.
You know what? Anybody that can come up with a good fart joke is solid in my book.
There you go.
Definitely.
Can I talk a moment about my new film, Full Moon Fever? This movie I'm super excited about.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Please.
Please. Most definitely.
The trailer looks great.
Oh, thank you. That wasn't even really a trailer. It was just kind of like because the film was slated to come out for this Halloween, but some things made that impossible, especially some really well-known people who dug the script and signed on late, so we're shooting some extra footage. But it's just such a wonderfully moody, and it's, you know, I always like films that kind of capture the spirit of Halloween. Like, you feel like when you're watching the movie that you're watching more of the mood and the atmosphere of Halloween than you are, like, you know, what the actual I'm losing the word because it's very late on here on the East Coast. you know, instead of what the words on paper say, the atmosphere and the mood kind of propel the movie, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I told my mom one year, and I said, Halloween has a different air feeling.
Absolutely.
And she's like, no, it doesn't. And one year she finally said, you know, you told me a couple of years ago that Halloween has a different air about it. You're right.
Absolutely.
I feel it.
Yeah,
so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. What do you guys think of the new Halloween film?
I have not seen it yet. I know. Go ahead. My hands are behind my back right now.
Oh, no, I have not seen it yet.
I haven't had a chance to see it yet either.
You guys really aren't missing much.
I'm on the fence because, I mean, you know, everybody in my network either loves it or hates it, and it's almost like it's a dead even opinion from both sides. So,
right, you have to be really forgiving of not caring about the legacy of Michael Myers to love it. And I'm not forgiving about not caring about the legacy.
I guess I just get tired of all the damn sequels, you know. I mean, it's one thing to reimagine it, but it's the sequels. It's like, what's this, Halloween 20? I mean.
Yeah, and now they're all, they are alternate timelines and, you know.
I don't know, I'm getting
old and crotchety for today's entertainment.
I know what happened to it.
Sooner or later, we're going to probably see Michael Myers in the electric wheelchair next.
Yeah. We're swinging a machete at the old geezers in an old folks' home.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, theoretically, how old should Michael Myers be, in his mid-60s?
Should be older than me,
yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Prince?
I got a surprise for you. Like I said, I stalked you this afternoon, and I got a surprise for you. I did ask Scott Schiaffo to call in, and he couldn't because he was busy packing because he's got a long trip to make. But he did say, please have fun with David.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that my surprise?
But I do have somebody else for you. Let's see if you recognize this person.
Okay.
I guess I'm the consolation prize.
You're the consolation prize. Say some more
David
words, because I'm having trouble hearing you.
Oh, okay, yeah. I enjoyed speaking with William Sadler, Craig Hurley, Camden Toy.
Why did you do this to me? Out of everybody I know, you picked Joe Ridgely? Ugh.
No. They picked Scott Schiaffo.
I know.
I messaged both of you.
All kidding aside, my show, The End of the Night, would not exist if it wasn't for this young man. He's enormously talented. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend, and he knows that I'm just playing with him. I always love hearing from him. But if anybody out there who's listening tonight actually likes The End of the Night, the only reason it exists is because of Mr. Joe Ridgely. How are you doing, brother?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, Joe, I actually started doing this train wreck of a show probably over a dozen years ago, and I absolutely adore Francie. And, you know, we had all kinds of historic moments on the show. I think we had David Lee Roth on once. We had an all-star show the night. We had an all-star show the night that Corey Haim passed away. I think we had the cast of Fright Night on here. All kinds of fun stuff with Francie back in the day.
Well,
yeah, that's when
Doug Bradley
Stephen Dash. Man, that was great. Stephen Dash. Whenever I talk to him, he goes, "You call me Uncle Steve."
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Was Fred the Hammer, Williams?
No. That was my radio show out of Atlantic City. This was not at the end of the night. It was Francie and Friends that I would call in and have my friends call in along with me.
He would, and it's kind of like, who's calling? And In fact, we met Scott on this show the last time you were here. You brought Scott on the show, and Matt, I gotta tell you, do you remember that when you told Nick, when you announced and Nick was on, and he's like, "Hey, we got a horror legend here. We got now I'm thinking we got Stephen Jeffries," and Nick was like, "Holy fuck!
Yeah,
are you fucking kidding me?"
And what was so cool about that is that Stephen Jeffries was his normal, unbelievably weird and charming self. That was perfect.
Yeah,
and you cannot
I think
that guy anymore. He's impossible to get on the show.
Oh yeah, well,
maybe not for you, but for other people.
Yeah.
And trust me, I tried for years.
Yep.
I mean, it's very, very funny. It's a weird thing when you become really close friends with these folks to then ask them to do a show. It was a little different back then, but now, like, the guy, he ran in the New York City Marathon the last time they had it, and he spent a week in my house, and we, you know, have a wonderfully weird relationship, but, you know, he's a quirky dude, and if you guys want to have him back on either this show, or Joe, if you want
yes.
him to be on our train wreck of a show, I'll give him a call.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think Nick would flip his lid. Like, I think we, you know, the cartoon characters when they flip their lid, literally they flip their lid. Because he literally had to hold himself up when Stephen Jeffrey said hi. He's like,
David,
I think that.
Speaking of Stephen Jeffrey, I mean, you were in a certain documentary recently, at least part of it, the You're So Cool, Brewster, the story of Fright Night, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Tom Holland, another dear friend of mine, reached out to me because he was producing that project, and he knew how many similarities and how many odes to Fright Night I had in my film Mr. Hush. So they did a little part on in that documentary film about how Mr. Hush was related to Fright Night, which I thought was kind of cool.
It's freaking awesome.
Nice.
Hey, Joe, did you see the post I put up? I know you saw it. When you look back at our guests, like, it's a little bit more than a year. Dude, I mean, it's crazy.
It is unbelievable. And you said that was like only half because Facebook was restricting you.
Yeah, there were some pictures that it wouldn't post. I mean, there's probably another 30 people we could have put up. And it's funny because I really didn't realize how many folks and how many really, really famous people we've had on that show since last February.
I didn't realize how long the show was running.
I know.
In fact, I do remember, at
the beginning, there was times I could not see the show, and I kept trying to look for it at the beginning. And now I know that when you come on and I see live, and I'm like tuning in as soon as I get that notification, because I love your guys' show, and I wish I could stay there, but you know, I gotta leave it your show and you know, do
no,
this
I hear
you. Show, and I'm just like, in fact,
you know what's crazy?
Some of
the guests that we've had since the show, I mean, Daniel Roebuck, for instance, he did our very first episode. And
not only was it Daniel Roebuck, but you also had Chad Rook at the same time.
I know. The very first episode was Daniel Roebuck and Chad Rook. And Daniel Roebuck is about to star as Grandpa Munster in a new Munster movie. What is that movie? Do you know the name of that movie?
Resident Evil.
The new Resident Evil movie. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're a good luck charm, I think, Joe.
Right.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, we had Butch Patrick on.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, in fact, he talked about the Munsters. the movie that's about to come out. He talked about it. And then I seen you, that, like, the next day, you posted and you said, "Look, the guy who's playing Grandpa Munster was our first guest." And I'm like, say we just had Butch Patrick on.
Ta-da.
What about the time
we
had Galligan on from Gremlins?
We're kind of meeting a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had Zach Galligan on from
he was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was a good show. Well, I think that was our highest rated show, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit this much. I had to do a double take from Sunday's show because, between just kind of putzing around and stuff. So I was so surprised. I'm like, wow, that looks like William Sadler on there. That'd be pretty cool. Oh, that is a William Sadler on there.
Yeah, Bill's
the
a great guy.
The second time he was on there.
Bill's a great guy, and if you guys – he literally – he's actually on the set. He's the star of the new Salem's Lot movie, and he's about to film the next morning, and he's literally trying – and Joe will back me up on this – at least a dozen times to get through to our little show. It just shows, what a great guy he is, and, even though he was choppy, it's still always an honor to have somebody.
Unfortunately, he was in his hotel room, and he didn't have the best connection, but he was trying his damnedest. And we got a couple of pictures with everybody that was on board that night and him with a smile on his face. I mean, come on. We had Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. We had Scott Schiaffo.
Yep.
We had Jim Krutt. And then we had a couple of guys from Friday the 13th, Camden Toy, anybody who has watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the show, or Angel knows exactly who he is. He's the creepiest bastard in the series.
So, yeah.
You guys definitely got a great lucky streak on that one.
Yes. Hopefully it'll continue. We have a good show this week. Tiffany Shepis is going to be my co-host because Scott is he's at Comic-Con. So Tiffany will join Joe and I this Sunday night, and
she's a cool lady.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's a lot of fun. And we're having Brian J. Cano, who's he's from paranormal shows, right, Joe?
Paranormal Caught on Camera, Haunted Collectibles, and a fantastic. I really wanted to get him on Sunday night, and we could have, but when he responded to me at first, he was like, I'm probably going to be busy that night. It's the busiest night of the year for me. And now I feel like a schmuck because he said if I would have reached out to him at 9 or 10 o'clock, he would have come on. So that was on me.
So we'll have him this Sunday.
You also interviewed Sam Jones.
Yeah, we had Sam J. Jones / Gordon. He was a great guy. It was a very fun interview.
He is incredible. I love him. He was at a convention that the both Nick and I was at here in Sacramento. And, I haven't seen Flash Gordon in years. And before the convention opened, he was, walking around. I was like, dude, that's Flash Gordon.
Yeah,
now he's a little bit older, but it's kind of like... And he looked at me, he's like, what's up?
Yeah.
How you doing?
I was like, dang, that's a flash. But I ended up giving him a copy of my book, Werewolf, and he gave us the Flash Gordon and Ted 2. And he did an interview, and he taught me how to do camera work. He's like, no. And I'm so short, and he's so tall, and he's towering over me. He goes, wait, no, camera shot, bad shot. Get up here. And he's like, oh, maybe I should sit down. I'm too tall for you. And I'm like, duh. You're like, what, 7 feet tall? And I'm like 5'5"?
You know, it's funny.
Yeah,
I hang out with Sam a couple of times, and he's way shorter than I am. So I feel good about that.
Everybody's way shorter than you are.
There you go.
Yeah, what are you, 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'7".
Wow.
Well, though.
All right, so if I may, on the air, David, I have to ask you who a few of your favorite interviews were. I'm going to say on the show that you have, I got to say Rhea Brusso and Donnie Most were a couple of mine, but I'm curious
Most,
what you have to say.
Donnie Most being, we had fucking Ralph Malfe on, brother. That was amazing. Right. And Ray Abruzzo from The Sopranos is just a wonderful, wonderful guy. But believe it or not, with me being a film director, I think my favorite interview, and because nobody in the world has interviewed this cat, and he's a legend, is John McNaught.
Yes. Oh, wow. I mean, that's legend is an understatement.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the first ones. It was like the third or fourth episode, I think.
Yeah, Robert Wall was fun. Tim Busfield was fun.
Oh, Robert Wall, yes.
John O'Hurley was great. There were so many. I mean, William Sadler's story about his stage play is the stuff of legend. Melanie Charter, oh, Joe, she was awesome. That was a great show.
Yeah.
Catherine Mary Stewart. Keith Coogan, yeah. Jack Shoulder, who directed the...
Keith
Andre
Coogan
Gower,
is great.
Unbelievable.
Keith Coogan is such a nice guy.
Right?
I did get to interview him. I did get to interview him, and he...
You know,
you gotta
help me get on my show, Francie. I keep calling him, but for some reason he's not responding to me. Is Corin Nemec.
Okay. I do have his phone number. I have not. Yeah, he's great, man. Corin Nemec, I got to tell you, you get Corin Nemec on the show, dude, you're going to laugh your ass off.
Well, see, I've got a simple solution to that. David, have your people contact my people.
There you go.
yes. I will try. Yeah, because he's been on my show, oh, my gosh, I think two or three times. In fact, I even was going to do my six-month anniversary show. Yeah, he was really nice. I was like, look, I'm just starting. You know, I don't have huge numbers right now. That's what I have, like 10,000 at that time. And he's like, I want to help you be successful. And then
nice.
I never told you that. I never really said the story. But after the show, he called my cell phone. He goes, dude, that was so much fun. I'm like, oh, good, I didn't screw it up. And he goes, no, that was the best interview I ever had. You know what? I'm going to do you a favor. I was like, what's that? He goes, you're going to get a phone call tomorrow. I was like, I am. He goes, David Faustino will call your phone tomorrow. Sure enough, 3 p.m., David Faustino is calling my phone. And I'm like, oh, shit, Mom.
Nice.
David Faustino. I was like,
Bud
hello?
Bundy.
Wow.
Good
boom.
And he delivered, and I was like, dude, David, I'm such a fan. And he goes, well, thank you. And he was like all professional. Corin Nemec is like so laid back and so clowny, and he's just like, let's do it. You know, and Dave Faustino's like, well, thank you. You know, and, you know, yeah, I will track down Corin Nemec for you.
Oh, you rock.
Hey guys, I'm going to bail out. One other show I want to bring up, if I may, is one that Dave put together that, I mean, not many people could. It was from Casualty Friday, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis, and Kane Hodder all on one screen. It was a beautiful thing.
That was a good one.
Hey, so, Joe, but, I mean... I don't know if we'll ever recover the Alan Hallward show, though. That guy was trippy.
Oh, yes, the aliens.
Yes. We loved it, though.
I don't know how far you want to delve into that, but I'm not going to steal Dave's thunder. You guys have at it. I appreciate you inviting me on to talk to my buddy Dave. I owe him a debt of gratitude from 4 years ago from being on my original show and helping me along the way. Thank you, David.
Thank you for calling in.
We can talk in the near future of booking you, not for a Sunday night show, but for a Wednesday night show.
Whatever you guys need, I'd be honored.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Cool.
All right, thank you. Good night, guys.
Good night, Joe. Thank you.
Good night, buddy.
Now,
I love that guy.
Dave.
He's such a good, kind, decent human being. Why does he hang out with me? It's very surprising.
Well, I don't know. Good, kind, decent human beings attract to each other because you are too.
Dave.
Actually,
yeah,
you know, there's
–
oh, go ahead.
Oh, see, no, I was just going to say, I do have a fun question for you because over the weekend I was pushing Wits End to a few friends of mine and such and, you know, telling them, you know, if you want something great for a good holiday spirit and everything else, this is a great title. How long did it take me to film the whole thing? Because, you know, just the way that you did a lot of the transition shots and everything else, it ran so smooth. I was so impressed with it. I still am.
It was actually shot over three blizzards. And you know what I'm most proud about that movie? I'm the only moron who would go out in the middle of those blizzards and shoot that thing. It was kind of like a guerrilla film to see, to see if I could make it.
Wow. That's what the write-up said, too, is that you were out there hovering in the blizzard getting the right shot.
Yeah, I mean, we literally went to the township of a small town in Hawley, Pennsylvania, and asked them, because we knew a blizzard of epidemic proportions was supposed to come through, if we could plant the car, which is a Chevy Cavalier, on the road, so that when the blizzard came, it would be totally buried, and it was. And it really gave you production values that you really couldn't get, you know, a big motion picture would have done that movie in a controlled environment with fake snow and, you know,
yeah,
and all that. When you do it out in the middle of a blizzard and you're carrying a 60-pound camera and a tripod and a boom mic and nobody wants to go out in those conditions with you, you realize – maybe I made wrong career decision along the way.
Well, I'll admit, I mean, that was the thing that was, you know, that blew my mind because I didn't realize that was a real blizzard. So I'm sitting there and I was just like, this guy has a great special effects crew.
Oh, come on. No, it was Superstorm Stella and Superstorm Irene, I think, that came in 2018 and 19 in Pennsylvania. And one dumped 4 feet of snow, and the other one dumped 5 feet of snow.
Wow.
So,
I
remember one of the first questions I asked you and Thomas J. Churchill. You guys were on the show together. I said, what is the greatest lengths you ever gone through to get to the perfect shot? I think you did it this time.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like when you're an indie filmmaker, you really have to hustle and figure out things to make it look bigger and grander than, you know, because you have so many budgetary constraints. And I was walking around, and in the countryside under that much snow just looked so beautiful, so impressive. And I was like, you know what? You know, it was just to see if I could do it. I never thought the film would have any legs. I never thought it would be a top 20 film on Tubi. And all those things that happened were just a wonderful surprise. And thank you for supporting it. I appreciate it.
It's on Tubi? I got Tubi.
Yeah, it's on Tubi, it's on Amazon, it's everywhere you could find a streaming movie. But Tubi's free,
oh,
so Tubi's the way to go.
Yeah, I got to. I'm going to watch that tonight as soon as the show's up. I did not know it was on Tubi. I seen that
Tubi,
it was on Amazon
Tubi.
Prime. Tubi?
Well, it's there too,
or...
but you have to pay on Amazon Prime. On Tubi, you don't.
Oh, I know Nick's got that on speaker. I know Nick's got that on speaker. Nick, we're going to watch Wits End tonight.
You know what? You know
we'll get the popcorn ready.
Yeah,
you know what's really cool
name.
About Wits End?
I heard my name.
Yeah, Wits End is on Tubi. We got Tubi.
Oh, yeah, we do have Tubi, yes. And we must watch Wits End. Before, at the beginning of the show, right before you introduced David, I was going to mention how good of a friend he is and a film director, because we're a big fan of we're friends of yours, you know, I guess through Francie's show and all the, you know, history that we have and stuff, which is like a decade long at least. But at the same time, though, because we know you, we watched Mr. Hush. I actually went out and bought it, and And then, you turned out to be a really great director. I wanted to say that at the beginning when she was about to introduce you. But, we really like not just you, but what you do.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you, Nick. I like you guys are awesome.
Aww.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I forgot what she called me for.
Here's another nice story about Quicksand.
Oh, Quicksand is on Tubi. Yes, and we'll certainly watch it.
Another nice thing about Quicksand, in 2020 it came out, and everything that the film made throughout 2020 I collected and in turn gave out to random folks, whoever IM'd me on Facebook, the proceeds to buy their children Christmas presents if they were having problems.
I thought that was so awesome that you were doing that.
And luckily I was able to help over 140 different people buy Christmas gifts for their children with the proceeds of with them. So that was pretty awesome.
That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you know, anybody that's willing to pay it forward is a hero in my book.
Yeah, no, I mean, luckily, I mean, I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I do okay. And I remember as a kid, the only time I ever got anything was at Christmas. So if I could help children have that magic feel of Christmas for a day, parents allow their kids to believe in Santa, even if it's just for one more year, I feel really good about that. And I'm going to do something again this year, very similar.
Cool.
And every filmmaker that came out with something around Christmas time did something like that, the world would be a better place, I believe.
Oh, absolutely.
I was talking about something like that before about Halloween and books, too. So, giving books away as well as candy and stuff. And filmmakers like you, when you do something like that, that's the same kind of inspiration. It's like something that we all should do along with our projects or whatever else that we do. We should, like, you know, give something like that. And I saw your post about that before, too. That was very inspiring. You're very inspiring, too, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And probably right after Thanksgiving, I'll have a similar post up. And if you know any parents that are having a rough time because of the world sucking right now, please have them reach out to me. And if I can help in any way get kids presents on Christmas morning, I'd be a very happy man.
I think that's great. You know, though, I was the kid that, and my brothers hated me every Christmas Eve because I would tell my mom to lock the doors and not let Santa in the house.
Oh, jeez.
I was that kid. I was like, lock the doors. No man is going to be rummaging through my house when I'm asleep. And my brothers are like, Mom, don't you can't lock the doors. Okay, we grew up in a trailer, so we didn't have a chimney. My mom said, well, he'll just come in on that vent. And I was like, put a blanket over it. Santa's not coming in.
Now, here, I thought you were going to say it's because you saw Silent Night, Deadly Night when you were at a younger age.
No, it's because I could not imagine some big guy with a beard coming into our house, and then my brothers are like, but he's going to leave us presents. I was like, no present is worth it. Lock the doors. I think I was the only kid. And if any kids are listening, this is how nuts my mom was growing up and all the mental damage she did to us as kids. My older brother is probably going to kill me for this one, too. My older brother was actually going boom, boom on the potty. And my mom opened up the bathroom door and she said, Paul, there's no such thing as Santa. And closed the door.
Wow.
Ouch.
Not nice.
Well, what do you do with that? Okay, yeah. Okay, that's a bit of my childhood with Christmas.
Tonight on Lifetime.
A family spark.
Yeah. A very fancy Christmas.
Okay, no, but Dave, I think that's great what you're doing. You know, you are touching lives of a lot of people, and that is awesome. I'm sorry I killed it with my brother going boom boom on the potty. I hope nobody got the image in their head.
That's not just a great thing that you're doing, David, but it's a great example.
Well, you know.
Yeah, and definitely. When you go to do the post here towards December, please make sure it's public, and I'll do an email blast.
Oh, absolutely. It's always public. I put it up on all of my viral media things.
Yeah, I'll definitely share it. Because I do think that's a great thing that you're doing, and
Hey, David, I have a quick question. It has nothing to do with anything, but one time on Francie's show, I think you were hosting a party, and David Lee Roth was very quickly on the show and stuff. Did you and David ever, like, joke about how you have both the first and middle names?
No, actually, in all honesty, I had it first because his is a show business name, and he became famous in 1976, and I was born David Lee Madison in 1970, so I tease him that I had it first.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was always curious about that. I was going, David Lee Roth, David Lee Madison, you know. But, yep.
Yeah, sadly,
okay.
Dave's very ill right now, and the public doesn't really know that.
Oh, I did not know that.
You know, hopefully we'll be hearing from him. He has a gig. He's going to retire after his New Year's Eve shows in Vegas. But you know, maybe things will turn around. I pray that everything goes well for him.
And I hated it because we weren't live anymore, and you were messaging me on Facebook. You said, pick up, we're calling back in. And I was like, I can't pick up. We're not live. Your call's not going through.
Oh, okay. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was. I remember that night. All right, Dave?
Yeah.
I want to book you again. In fact, I'm talking to Joe. We're going to book him. He said he's going to throw some dates at me really soon. Maybe you should surprise Joe.
No, Joe could carry a whole show. He's way more entertaining than I am. I assure you that.
No, but
you're pretty entertaining. We have fun with you.
I would love to have you back on. You know, I always love to have you back on. I did tell Joe, not on Sunday, but when are you available?
We will have a big Full Moon Fever episode when Full Moon Fever comes out, and I'll bring all the stars of the film along with me, and we'll have a good time.
Nice.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. It's already well after midnight here on the East Coast, and this old man is going to go to bed because I'm old. That's pretty much it.
I'm on Eastern Standard Time, too.
Yep.
Don't worry. We're pretty much all the same.
I've seen you at the cafe with the menu holding it up. Dave, you're aging very well.
Oh, thank you. It's all smoke and mirrors, I assure you that.
I always tell you, and I hope your wife doesn't get mad when I say, you're a hottie.
Oh, I'm only hot if somebody set me on fire, but thank you. quick question. Has any of you guys seen my Christmas album stuff, The Wandering Wannabes?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Any feedback? Because I'm not getting a lot of love on that album, and I think it's pretty good. I don't know why it's, like, just kind of blasé.
Wait, what is it called? I'll look for it.
It's the Wandering Wannabes. It's myself and Schiaffo and Brian O'Halloran and the drummer from who's the parrot guy? Wasted Away Again in Margaritaville.
Jimmy Buckner.
Yeah, his drummer and Joe Ferry, a 9-time Grammy Award winning bassist. We all got together and we made a Christmas album called The Wandering Wannabes.
Okay, I'm going to look for that.
Just look at my page, Francie. It's right there.
Oh.
Everybody go listen to some Wandering Wannabes and get into the Christmas spirit. And if you have a $1.99 you could spare, buy the EP.
I already did.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. You know, I'm gearing that up because I want to outdo Mariah.
Ah, there you go. I'm just going to buy Christmas presents for kids with the money anyway, so it goes to a good cause.
Well,
I'm on
you can't go wrong with that, that's for sure.
And when I say that, I don't mean my kid.
Well, don't worry.
He mentioned Mariah Carey, and now I got that song stuck in. Oh, my gosh, we got to listen to that.
She's only like 130 million
song,
copies
Randy.
Ahead of us right now, so we have our work cut out.
Okay.
We can do it.
That's right. You know.
We got you, Dave. Hey, Dave.
Some magic, a little bit of some elbow grease.
Yep.
Can we play it on Francie and Fred? Oh, there it is.
If you could play it, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to play it.
Play
That's
Jingle Bells.
We're going to play right now. Here's
play
the
Jingle Bells. Play Jingle Bells. It's the better one.
Wait, I'm playing.
We've seen through the snow in one horse open sleigh.
Can you hear it?
Over the fields we go.
Yep.
Yep.
Laughing all the way. That's an old Bob history. Making spirit rise. What fun it is to cry and sing on the same song tonight. Oh, Jingle Bells. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells,
jingle bells,
jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Brent, you don't have to play the whole song, hon.
Okay.
I think you'll get the idea.
Okay. All right, but I will tell you, can we play it for opening song?
Sure. The magic of Dante from Clerks singing Jingle Bells. What else can a man ask for?
Yeah, there you go.
And he needs to know that you know,
he's got a
prize like that for singing.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Francie, probably ask me that. Why don't you ask me that sometimes if for your opening song I could sing the song about barbecuing dogs in the neighborhood? I got dogs cooking in the microwave. I got a week's worth of sausage from Lassie's remains.
I like it.
Hey,
and on that note, everybody, I'm going
to piss off my Peter fans, but that's okay.
Anyway, just teasing Francie a little bit. You can't eat dogs. That's what she always says.
On that note, I will build you all a fond adieu, and if I don't speak to any of you guys before the holiday season, I hope you all have a very, very happy and healthy holiday season. Enjoy your Thanksgivings and
your
Christmases and love your families and just have a great time.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks.
Love you.
Good night. Love you, too. Be well, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Up this morning looking for my shoes, looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? chair. Blues overtake me, rock away from here. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Alphabet, don't
all right,
you?
Good night. What's that one letter?
Oh,
okay, good night, everybody.